Talking about some goofy stuff today. The weird thing that you find attractive, 877-710-ESPN. Also, I wanted to play this clip, John. I am super high on the Rams this year. I think we've got Matthew Stafford, I think, is going to have a beast of a year. I love our wide receiver core. Our offensive line has actually gotten younger this year. Our secondary is anchored by Jalen Ramsey. We've got the best defensive player of the game in Aaron Donald. I see no reason to be anything but unbelievably optimistic about this Rams team. What about you?
I'm worried about the Cam Akers injury. I don't know what they're going to do for a running back.
Well, they did say they're not going to play Daryl Henderson at all in the preseason.
Right.
Which sounds making it sound like he's their guy.
Yeah, I don't know if he's an every down back. So I want to see how that works. I love their defense. I think they have two absolutely elite defenders in Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. They were number one in defense last year. They play in a really hard division. I think they have an outside chance to get to the Super Bowl.
I think it's, I mean, according to Vegas, it's not that outside a chance.
Well, they're not.
They're like this. They're the third best pick in the NFC to go to the Super Bowl. So it's not like crazy out of control.
Behind Tampa and who?
Behind Tampa and
Green Bay. Kansas City.
Kansas City's from the NFC. West. Actually, you know what? It may be their second. It may be that they're the second best pick to go to the Super Bowl.
Green Bay might be ahead of them.
Yeah, Green Bay could be, right.
Green Bay beat them last year.
They're definitely in the mix. I mean, the Rams beat Tampa last year.
Right. In Tampa,
yeah. So, yeah, I think they're right there. Here's what analyst Kimberly Martin said.
Yeah, I like her.
Yeah, she's really good. Here's what she said on Get Up this morning.
Oh, I got bold, Greeny. I think the Rams will actually struggle to make the playoffs. Mm. Major bold. Here's why. Older, aging offensive line, and I think Cam Akers, losing him is going to be bigger than people think. Plus, Seahawks, 49ers, they're going to be better, and I think they're going to make the playoffs.
That's a tough division.
I think it's possible all three of those teams, by the way, make the playoffs. The division is that good. Now, I would challenge her and say that, no, the offensive line has actually gotten younger. David Edwards, Brian Allen, Austin Corbett, both younger guys. They still have Andrew Whitworth and Rob Havenstein. But the offensive line has gotten younger. They do have older guys at tackle. And, John, to your point, you know, Daryl Henderson, we're going to see what we've got in terms of running back depth on Saturday night. You know, Jake Funk is going to get a chance. Xavier Jones is going to get a chance. These are undrafted free agents. One played on the practice squad all of last year. Those are the guys we're actually going to see. And if you're the Rams, are you judging based on their performance in these exhibition games?
No, can't. Because they don't play any starters.
Right. No, but I'm saying, isn't McVay... aren't Les Snead and McVay going to look at these running backs that are going to get a chance to play and say, oh, yeah, I see that guy. He should be on our roster.
Very few roster spots are up for grabs. I would say less than five.
Well, who are the running back spots? There's Daryl Henderson, and then there's four undrafted free agents.
Right, which is why
two of those guys have got to make it.
Yeah, that's why I think they should go sign somebody, just to have them. You know, go. It can be anybody you want. I mean, I want it to be Adrian Peterson, but you want to go sign Frank Gore. You want to go sign LeSean McCoy. You want to go. I mean, there are plenty of them out there. I think maybe they give these running backs a chance, and then if they don't work out, then maybe they go to the market. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm of the belief they should add particularly a short down back. I haven't seen these guys play, these undrafted free agents. I'll see them on Saturday at the brand new SoFi Stadium.
Okay, so. So, to go back to Kimberly Martin's point, the thing you played, on average, three teams that made the playoffs the year before don't make it this year.
Okay.
Okay, so here are the teams that made it last year. Okay, Green Bay was the one.
Yep.
Saints were the two.
Yep.
Seahawks won the West, so they were the three. Washington was the four because they won that really bad,
the terrible division,
NFC East. Tampa Bay was five. They were a wild card and went on to win the whole thing. Rams were six, and the Bears were seven. So who are the three that are out?
Well, I think the Bears are out. The Rams will show them that on opening night. That's the first game for the Rams at SoFi Stadium.
Are the Saints going to win the South? I think Tampa might win the South.
I don't know anymore. I don't know what New Orleans is anymore. They still got Kamara.
Well, especially
Michael
with
Thomas
Jameis
is hurt.
Winston.
Jameis Winston at quarterback. Yeah, I mean, I don't know necessarily. So the Bears made it last year. I think they would easily fall out, and maybe San Francisco jumps in. Seattle made the playoffs last year, right?
They won the West.
They won the West. So
because remember, Jared Goff threw that stupid interception in Seattle.
Oh, yeah. I remember. So, yeah, I think that the playoff teams probably, you know, somebody comes out of the East. I think Green Bay comes out of the North. I think Tampa comes out of the NFC South, and then three teams come out of the NFC West. I think Seattle, the Rams, and the Niners are all going to make the playoffs this year.
Not impossible, but they, you know, remember, they're going to beat up on each other. They've all got to play each other twice, so that's going to lead to more losses.
Yeah.
By the way, I think the Chargers might make the playoffs this year.
Chargers? I mean, Justin Herbert is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw it last year. He's really good. I didn't sit down and watch
Kansas
a lot of
Kansas City
Charger
wins
games,
the West, but I could see the Chargers sneaking into one of those wild cards, maybe the one that Indy had last year.
All right, let's go to the phones. The weird thing that you are attracted to, let's go to Kevin in Long Beach. Kevin, you're on 710. What's up, man? Hey, Kevin. Hung up. Let's go to Nick in Irvine. Nick, you're on 710. What's up? Hey, Nick.
Boy, you can
this
hear people there.
Well. Yeah. Yeah. Let's go to Christian in Ventura. Christian, you're on 710.
Those guys are probably turned on by silence.
Yeah, I guess
yes,
so.
Yes, turned on by silence. There you go.
So for me, it's moles, freckles, scars, birthmarks, anything natural on the body, you know? Don't know why. Just gets me a little riled up.
So, yeah, you probably like Cindy Crawford because she's got that big mole.
Oh man. Yeah. I just want to thank you guys for the distraction you guys bring throughout the day. And go Dodgers.
All right, thanks,
go
Christian.
Dodgers. Thank you very much, Christian. By the way, Dodgers did lose today 2-1. I think San Francisco plays Arizona again tonight, so hopefully the Diamondbacks rise up and grab a win. I think Nick is back in Irvine. Nick, you're on 710. What's up?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, gotcha, Nick.
Okay, so Ron Shelton, he directed Bull Durham.
Yeah.
And there's a quote in the movie. It is a quote. Well, I believe in the soul, the men's genitalia and the woman's genitalia, I won't say those names, the small of a woman's back, the hanging curveball, high fiber, good scotch, the novels of Steuben Sontag are self-indulgent, overrated, crap. I believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I believe there ought to be a constitutional amendment outlawing AstroTurf and the designated hitter, the DH. I believe in the sweet spot, soft core pornography, opening your presents Christmas morning rather than Christmas Eve, and I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last 3 days.
That is an excellent recitation from one of the great speeches of any movie of all time.
That came from Kevin Costner, who will
Kevin
be at
Costner,
the Field of
right.
Dreams game tonight.
Yep. Yeah, Kevin Costner is arguably. Thank you very much for the phone call, man. The thing about Kevin Costner is he was in, I mean, what I would think are the two best baseball movies of all time, Field of Dreams and Bull Durham. Bull Durham is an excellent representation of what it's like to be a minor leaguer.
Bull Durham is better than Field of Dreams.
No, I love Field of Dreams. Field of Dreams is magic. Field of
what
Dreams is about the mystical
about?
Quality of baseball. The idea of legendary players entering, mystically appearing from a cornfield. The fact that a guy would get such a harebrained scheme as to build a baseball park in his cornfield. The faith that requires. The idea of, Dad, let's have a catch. All that stuff. You know, for me, Field of Dreams is what baseball is all about. Now, Bull Durham is what minor league baseball is all about.
Right. I thought Bull Durham was almost a perfect movie.
It's great. I know a lot of women like Susan Sarandon.
Boy, Costner's been in a lot of sports movies. He's in both of those. He was in where he threw the perfect game. I can't remember what that's called. For the Love of the Game, I think.
For the Love of the Game, right.
He's in Tin Cup, obviously. Has anybody been in more sports movies than Kevin Costner?
I don't think so, man.
Draft Day is another one.
Draft Day.
Right.
Our friend McBride's in that movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. We'll get more of your phone calls coming up, 877-710-ESPN. Also, I want to get to something Skip Bayless said about Mike McCarthy. Have you seen this, John?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm glad you're going to get into this because I think it's worth debating.
Yeah, no question. That is coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Got a tweet. This is Mark Medina. My son is 11, has never seen Field of Dreams, the movie, but he plays MLB The Show, and they have added Field of Dreams as a playable stadium. So he's excited to see the game tonight. The other one I wanted to read here was, right now it's Lindsay Baseball and Venice Mace. You can tell the morning meeting went really south. Come on, hash it out on the air. Ireland can mediate. No, we're not going to do that. Thank you for that.
I would not do that to you, Mace.
No, that would be bad. That would be bad. By the way, Lenny tweets, a good first date for Mason is someone who takes him to see Field of Dreams at the theater and plays catch with him after. I love that one, so, Lenny. Thank you for that.
So one time, this was years ago, my roof was leaking.
Yep.
And I mentioned it on the air. And I met this great guy named Rene Guerra.
Okay.
He sent me a note on Twitter, said, I work at a roofing company. We'd be happy to come out and take a look at your roof. They came out, took a look at my roof, fixed everything. They were great. So Rene just tweeted at me. He said, I just asked my 17-year-old son if he's interested in Field of Dreams. He said yes, and he's never seen the movie. He went to an Angel game with 14 members of his high school baseball game on Tuesday. Says they're all really interested and are all going to watch. So, you know, maybe.
There you
maybe
go.
Maybe they'll find a way to get people.
All right. I wanted to, before we get to the Skip Bayless thing, I wanted to get to this. I saw negative reviews for Ted Lasso. I read a big piece on Vice about people who don't like Ted Lasso.
Okay.
And I just want to read this stuff written by heartless people.
Okay.
Doreen St. Felix at The New Yorker. Oh, The New Yorker. Very smart. Charm is deadening, she says. The charm is deadening. The Washington Post calls Ted Lasso a fantasy of decency and kindness porn. What does that even mean? A fantasy of decency and kindness porn. In other words, it's too nice?
Right.
Is that what they're saying?
Yes.
The New Statesman, even more brutal, passable television that relies on hackneyed tropes to fool audiences into thinking their hearts are warmed when they really have only been numbed. That is so jaded and so cynical.
All right,
can't
I'll
there
give
be
you
just one nice show?
I'll give you the other side of that.
Okay.
Here is the John Ireland review of Ted Lasso.
Yep.
It is the best show on television right now. Number one for me. I think that Ted Lasso perfectly hits on what I have preached on this show forever. When you're looking for anything in another person, when you're looking for a friend, coworker, spouse, always, always, always pivot to kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Ted Lasso's whole act. He pivots to kindness. When Jamie Tart is getting yelled at by his dad last season and
yep.
he's lighting him up, remember he sends him the note with the army man and he says, hey, Jamie, nice pass.
Yes.
You can be amazed in this world if you come from a place of kindness. What you can get done. And that is the message of Ted Lasso. Now, if the people that you point out who are reviewing this don't want to receive the kindness, there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah. No, find another show.
But
find
if you're
some
willing
angry,
to
hateful
right,
show.
If you're willing to receive kindness, Ted Lasso is perfect. I love but my favorite character on that show
yes.
is Roy Kent.
Oh, Roy Kent's fantastic. Yeah.
And I absolutely...
Especially now that he's a pun... Oh, wow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he's now working as one of the guys on, like, the pre- and post-game show, and he has no filter. You think Charles Barkley has no filter. Wait till you see Roy Kent. But one of my favorite scenes this year, Mace, and I know some people haven't seen it, but this isn't necessarily a spoiler, is what's the owner's name, the woman who owns the franchise?
I know the actress.
You know what I'm talking
Hannah
about, right?
Waddington. Yeah, the blonde.
Yeah. She's out on a date.
Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Rebecca, there you go.
And she's so happy to be out with anybody that she's out on a date, and the Roy and his girlfriend are kind of on a double in a double date situation, and the date ends, and Rebecca asks the girl, "So what'd you think of that guy?" She goes, "Well, I thought he was nice." And Roy, who has no filter, goes, "You gotta give me an effing break." And she goes, "What? What? What's wrong?" He goes, "You tell me where anywhere in the world that guy deserves you. Where is your confidence?" And you see her just light up.
Yeah.
He goes, "You can do way better than that guy." And I love that scene.
Yeah, it's
you know,
a great
it's just
scene.
Because he just feels like, you know, you can, it's
don't sell yourself short. He's saying, don't sell yourself short.
Right. And I loved it. I love that show. I matter of fact, a new episode coming tomorrow.
Can't wait. My favorite shows on TV, I have two right now. One is the nicest show on TV. It's Ted Lasso. The other one is the meanest show on TV. It's called Lindsay, you're watching it. It's called White Lotus, about the most rude and aggressive and angry people in the world all at one hotel. So it's the nicest show in the world. And have you seen White Lotus?
I tried it. It didn't really take for me, but I'll give it another shot.
Boy, they are jerks. They are jerks on there. By the way, Lindsay's just ganging up on Field of Dreams. She just sent me a review. Lindsay, you sent me a review.
It's very funny. I just saw
Charlotte
it. It's
very Wilder.
Funny. Very funny.
She says, "I care deeply about baseball, but until this weekend, I'd never seen this movie," meaning Field of Dreams. "It came out in 1989, the year I was born, which I could try to use as an excuse. But the thing about movies is that once they're made, you can watch them anytime. So the truth is that I didn't watch it because everyone I grew up with loved it, and I'm a contrarian. And also because I was obsessed with Angels in the Outfield and had no interest in watching a different baseball movie with themes about heaven." To compare Angels in the Outfield to Field of Dreams,
she goes
is
on
absolutely
to,
ridiculous.
She did. She's admitting there that that's why she hadn't watched it. She's not comparing the two. She's saying that's why she hadn't watched it.
By the way, I'm with Charlotte. Field of Dreams is overrated.
She's not. She didn't even watch it. She acknowledges in the piece that she didn't watch it.
She hadn't watched it up until now. She literally says in the opening paragraph that she watched it because it's her. She's going there for her job. So you literally didn't even read it. You just took one sentence out of it and decided, "Oh,
I'm
going to
watch tonight." Because
she says she prefers Angels in the Outfield.
Yeah, so do I.
No. She's saying that's why she hadn't watched it, because she said she doesn't have room in her brain for two baseball movies that have themes about angels, and she's kind of right. Like, you know, it's kind of a weird theme.
Angels in the Outfield, underrated. Field of Dreams, overrated.
Wrong show. So. The Angels in the Outfield, I'll tell you the story. So Joseph Gordon-Levitt, great actor, was the kid in Angels in the Outfield.
Yeah, did we try and have him on once?
He did the Snyder Show with me a couple of times, and then he did one of my ill-fated talk show pilots, and he asked that I not bring up Angels in the Outfield. He was not a fan Angels in the Outfield.
I don't think he had a good experience, nor did he like the movie.
No, not at all. All right, so I want to get to this story about Skip Bayless, who, you know, everybody knows is America's troll. So Skip Bayless, yesterday, I guess, on whatever their show is with Shannon Sharp, said...
Speak for yourself.
Made a comment about Mike McCarthy's weight, about him being overweight, about him being fat. And who is the host of that show?
Jenny Taft.
Stood up and made a point of saying you don't talk about somebody's appearance, and I thought she made a very good point and stuck her ground on it. John, is it fair for an analyst to bring up the weight of somebody they're covering?
It's a great question, because who was it? Lane Kiffin said earlier this week.
Yes.
He saw a picture of himself, and he said he looked fat, and it motivated him to lose 30 pounds.
Right.
Mike McCarthy does not look like he's in shape, but does that matter as to whether or not he could coach? And to Skip, it does. To Jenny, it doesn't. I'm not so sure.
Wait a minute. What do you think?
I skew a little towards Skip.
No.
I don't know if I want a 400-pound coach.
No.
Who won the last two Super Bowls? Who are the coaches of the last two Super Bowl winning teams?
Yeah, it's true. Bruce Arians, Andy Reid. They're not exactly male models.
When's the last time Lane Kiffin won anything? Just saying.
Well, yeah, no, it's a fair point. He just decided to make this change. I mean, I think it can be difficult if you're not a guy who's in shape to demand a certain level of intensity and fitness and game readiness from your players. But I think that it is unfair.
I would say that the Super Bowl champs of the last 2 years would disagree with that.
Well, they're an example of it.
I was making my point. Excuse me. on our show here, that I don't think it's fair to make weight an issue if you're an analyst. It's just, it's inappropriate.
It's not the time we live in. Yeah, I wouldn't do it. Skip, as you said, is kind of a professional troll.
He's a troll.
But he's a Cowboy fan. And I thought what he said was, the gist of it was, to him, Mike McCarthy doesn't fit the suit as leader of the Cowboys. He doesn't look it. He doesn't sound it. He doesn't, even though he won the Super Bowl in Green Bay, that to Skip, and that's his team, he doesn't really fit the part. Is that unfair?
Well, if fitting the part means losing weight, then yes, it is unfair. He did talk about him as being overweight and seemed to make that one of the cruxes of his point. Like, how can this guy coach? He wouldn't be my coach, is what Skip said at the end of that thing. And I think that's ridiculous. I mean, I'm sure that he works for somebody in his company who happens to be overweight. There are people all over the place struggling with weight issues. And you can't just write them off as unable to do their jobs because they happen to be carrying a couple extra
pounds.
But
is it, and we did this with when we were talking about Kiffin earlier in the week, is it reasonable to say if you're going to be the head coach of an athletic team, that you are by definition unathletic?
Well, are you saying overweight?
Anything you want. It could be overweight, slovenly.
You think Andy Reid's got to come out and throw footballs around the yard the way Pete Carroll does?
I don't, but
there are different ways to do this.
I know, but so you would have no problem with an overweight head coach?
None whatsoever.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with doing his job. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. A lot of people, and I'll speak for myself here, I'm not super happy with my weight right now. I'm at 212. It's a bummer, but I struggle with it. It's gone up. It's gone down. That's my life, and that's a lot of people's lives. They are trying to eat right. They're trying to exercise.
Lane Kiffin's point that he made last week where he said, if I'm going to ask my players to be in shape and lose weight, then I'm going to lead by example. You think that's wrong?
Correct. I think that's wrong. I disagree with Lane. Good for him that he got healthy. That's great. And if he wants to lose weight, and if he wants to, you know, be more active, and if he wants to take that position of I'm going to set an example for my players, that's great for him. It doesn't have to be everybody's way. Everybody has to do that.
Like, for example, I think Sean McVay fits the part of a head coach. He looks like a head coach. He sounds like a head coach. He's got the enthusiasm. He's like a young Pete Carroll. That doesn't mean that Mike McCarthy can't also be successful. But I like the way Sean McVay looks, sounds, and acts. He looks like a head coach.
Would he be less smart if he weighed 30 pounds more?
He wouldn't be less smart, but he might not be as, like, he might not be the leader he is now. Like, he's easy to follow now. I think one part of Skip's point was, would you follow Mike McCarthy?
Well, obviously a team did all the way to the Super Bowl.
Right, but now he's in Dallas and they've struggled. By the way, if he doesn't win this year, I don't think it's going to matter anyway.
Yeah, he's only been there, this is his second year, right?
Right. It's a very short.
But it has nothing to do with his weight.
I don't think his weight prohibits him from winning, no.
And doesn't prohibit him from coaching.
But if they start.
And doesn't prohibit him from being really good at his job. I just think the day, not Stepdad Leo just texted, how about John Madden?
Yeah, he's a great example of an overweight coach that had great success.
Yeah,
he's
had great success.
Yeah.
So I think it's unfair to throw somebody's physical appearance, their weight at them, as an argument for why they're not good at their job.
Even if their job is football coach.
Yeah, even if their job is football coach. His job is to sit and look at film for the most part.
Right.
That's basically
what
the football
coach
does.
Well, the best example is the one Lindsay made, Andy Reid.
Yeah, Andy Reid just...
Andy Reid's been successful everywhere he's been.
Yeah. Lindsay, what do you think?
I just think it's kind of crappy to say, oh, well, that guy looks the part of a head coach, when, like, what exactly does the part of a head coach mean? And how does Sean McVay look the part of head coach when, like, he hasn't really won anything yet? So I just think that it doesn't matter at all.
Right. Coaches look, Sean is part of a group of coaches now, these young, you know, whether it be Matt LaFleur or now Brandon Staley or up in San Francisco.
Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan. I mean, there's a certain group of these guys. They're like the hip, young, good-looking coaches, and there's an invasion. But you don't have to be a guy that looks like Sean McVay to be able to do this job really well. I just think throwing the weight thing at Mike McCarthy is completely unfair and completely out of line on the part of Skip Bayless. Now, by the way, probably one of 10 out of line things he said on that show, just making stuff up.
Yes, the masses have lined up behind Jenny on this.
Yeah, as they should. Yeah. As they should. Are you with Jenny?
I had no problem with what Jenny said at all. I thought her point was fair. I also think.
You said you slightly agree with Skip.
I think most people, if they were being honest, agree with Skip.
Oh.
I do. No, I don't. I wouldn't be the one.
You really think most people care what their head coach looks like?
I don't
think it matters at
Just
all.
Win.
I think it matters if they win. I don't think anyone cares what their coach looks like.
You think people in Kansas City are saying, yeah, we won, but that guy.
Sorry, you got to lose some weight, man.
You got to lose some weight. Open that up. John says look the part. I think look the part is code for don't be overweight. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Also, Radio Tinder is coming up for you in 15 minutes. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Again. All right, so, by the way, I feel the same about age. We're talking about weight and whether or not you judge people because of their weight, whether or not a head coach sort of fits the suit if they happen to be overweight.
Right.
Skip Bayless suggested on his show, pardon the interruption or whatever it was.
Isn't that an ESPN show?
That's an ESPN show. Anyway, the Skip and Shannon show.
The other show on the other network.
The show on the other network. And said, Mike McCarthy, because he's overweight, I don't want him to be my coach. Among other reasons, but the fact that he's overweight is another reason I don't think he should be the head coach. And, John, you think most people agree with Skip.
I think if you put him on a lie detector, they would say they want a coach that looks the part.
Jorge, will you hook up the phones to the lie detector?
We'll just ask people. We'll go in the honor system.
Right. By the way, you're totally anonymous, so say what you want.
Yeah, here's Mike in Carson. Hey, Mike, you're on 710 ESPN.
All right, guys. Hey, how's it going?
Good, Mike.
Didn't hear you guys mention the first L.A. Ram coach to take him to the Super Bowl, Ray Malavasi. He was very much considered overweight, but he did his job and got him to the Super Bowl.
So, Mike, it doesn't bother you?
No, it does not bother me at all.
All right, thanks.
So, Mace, I care about the wins, not the weight. Okay. Wins over weight.
What if it was somebody that was just ridiculously obese, like Fat Bastard from the Austin Powers movies? Wouldn't matter as long as he wins.
Can he coach?
Does Who
he
cares? Win? Why do you care what your coach looks like?
I'm just saying.
Does he win?
All right, here we go. Jorge, is that guy on line three Adrian or Aiden?
Adrian, sorry, man, sorry.
Adrian, you're on ESPN LA. What do you think?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great, Adrian.
So I grew up playing football in Hawaii, so, you know, a lot of big boys out there.
Sure.
Yeah. And we had a coach that was like 400 pounds, and he would get on me about my conditioning, and then one day I snapped back at him and said, how about you run some laps? And, you know, it wasn't a good call, but, you know, you just don't get the same credibility when you're overweight. You don't want a broke financial advisor, you know?
Hey, that's...
How many Super Bowls did... Wait, how many Super Bowls did you win, though?
Well, he's playing in high school football.
I know, that's my point.
Was your coach a winning coach, Adrian?
We won some games.
Okay.
Okay.
So it didn't matter. All right, here is... Thanks, man.
Yeah, it's wins over weight, man. I don't care what you weigh.
Here is Miguel in L.A. Hey, Miguel, what do you think?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm totally with Skip Bayless. I think for the Dallas Cowboys, similar to the Lakers, you got to have some swag with you. And maybe you're overweight, but you carry it with some swag. And I just don't think McCarthy does it. It's not
does,
so much that
Andy
he's overweight.
Reed have, does Andy Reid have swag?
Yes, he does. Yes, Big Red. Hell yeah, he does.
Yeah,
but well, he, but his but, weight, but he's you would define him as larger, as plus size,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay, but the swag also comes with him being a player's coach. That's swag in itself, in my opinion.
So it has nothing to do with the actual weight.
By the way, thanks, Miguel, for the phone call. I think that's 100% factual, what Lindsay just said.
Which is?
Whether you win or lose has nothing to do with your weight.
100%.
But... fans, and that's what we're talking about here. Skip, in this case, is a fan.
Yep.
Want somebody that looks the part.
It's and just like Mace think if an, it, o- an overweight guy fits the suit.
But what you say by the part, though, Ireland, I bet if you went back through history and looked at all the Super Bowl winning coaches, that the majority of them could be considered overweight, at least half of them. So I don't think it has anything to do with looking the quote-unquote part, because what does the quote-unquote part look like? They all come in different shapes and sizes and colors, and they all look different. So what exactly is the quote-unquote part? I don't think there is a part for a head coach in the NFL anymore.
Do you think Belichick is overweight?
Yes.
I don't think he looks overweight. I think, you know, maybe he's older.
He's definitely overweight.
But, Let's go to Mitch in San Pedro. Hey, Mitch, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, Mitch.
Mitch, you
hey
there?
Guys, how's it going?
Good, great, man.
Pretty good. My biggest, I wanted to bring up a local one, maybe about 8 years ago or so, was Sarkisian left, was Ed Orgeron kind of got passed over at USC because Seattle, Southern boy, you know, kind of heavy set. The accent, and I don't know. I think there's certain markets, whether it's USC, Dallas, Lakers, you know, there's certain teams and cities where the image does play a factor, I think.
That's a really interesting example, Mace. It was one of the reasons, and we've actually talked about this. Bruce Feldman wrote a book with Coach O where he said it. He thinks he got passed over because he didn't look the part.
Well, he didn't. He also, I mean, there was a little element of fish out of water.
Correct.
With Coach O.
Yeah, I think we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah, same thing. But it wasn't weight. It was his personality.
Yeah, I think weight may have factored into it. You're right. It was a list of things. Here's Brian on line 7.
Call.
Hey, Brian, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sure,
Brian. I totally agree with Ireland. Attractive gets attention. It doesn't mean you can't be successful if you're not attractive, but if you're attractive, you're going to get more and to be a good coach. You want to have all their attention. Pretty easy.
I think thanks, Brian, for the phone call. Mace, I think the hot button issue, the thing that set everybody off here, is that everyone thinks, and maybe he is, but everyone accused Bayless of fat shaming, of making it all about his weight. And
correct.
When I was listening to Skip, it was more about weight was a big part of it, but not the only thing.
Yes.
That was like, you know, how he carries himself, how he talks,
right, but,
how he looks on the sidelines.
We live in a world, and there are guys listening right now who are driving around, they're delivering stuff, or they're salespeople, or whatever they happen to be doing. And they're in Tarzana, or they're in West Covina, or wherever they happen to be. And they're carrying a little extra weight, and it doesn't mean that they're any less good at their job.
Why? why you stereotyping delivery guys as extra
I'm not
late?
No matter what you're doing right now, because I know listening in the car right now, delivery guys, salespeople, people that regularly listen to the show, you can't write somebody off because they happen to be carrying a little extra weight.
But
otherwise, I would have
been
written off last week.
Yeah, but is that the only reason Skip is writing him off? I think the main reason Skip's writing him off is because he didn't win last year. He didn't get to the playoffs in a division that was terrible.
Yeah, but what's his name? Garrett was there for how long and didn't punch the ticket? I mean,
right. Seriously.
Yeah, Jason Garrett was skinny, and he never did anything, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, see, the skinny coach
failed
in Dallas.
I'll show you 30 pounds lighter. Get you nowhere.
Yeah. I say good for Jenny Taft. I'm glad she put Skip in his place, and you should be judged on the content of your character and not the number you hit on the scale. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, and Radio Tinder is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Lindsay, where can people follow you on Instagram?
At Lindsay Baseball. Thanks, Mace.
Sure.
And speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, if you ever start off telling someone something like, it's no big deal and you shouldn't worry, but ... it's more than likely that person is probably going to worry. And that's basically how the Cowboys fans reacted to a tweet.
Oh, I saw
news.
This was weird.
Yes, about Dak Prescott and the shoulder strain that's kept him limited at camp. The tweet from the official Dallas Cowboys account said, quote, "It's not a setback and it's not a reason to worry. But QB Dak Prescott is planning on getting another MRI. And that's all it said. Is the phrasing of this tweet worrisome for Cowboys fans? Swipe left or swipe right?
Yes, it should be worrisome. And here's the weird thing, Mace.
Yep.
I've been following sports forever and certainly for all of the internet age.
Yeah.
I've never seen a tweet from a team like that. Have you?
No, it really is inconclusive and leads you to jump to a bad conclusion.
And I know why they did it.
Don't you think it seems like it's bad news?
Yeah, but I know why they did it. I think the Cowboys thought, okay, if someone else reports this, if Adam Schefter or Chris Mortensen reports it,
right,
it looks really, really bad. But if we get it out there, we kind of take the steam out of the news.
Yes.
But why put it out there with any opinion? In other words, why not say the latest on Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, he'll receive another MRI this week, and his plan is to be ready for the start of the regular season. Why do you have to say it's nothing to worry about and it's no big deal? Lindsay, what's the exact wording in the first part of the tweet?
The tweet reads, "It's not a setback and it's not a reason to worry, but quarterback
how do you know
Dak
if it's
Prescott
a setback?
Is planning on getting another MRI." It really is. The
I mean,
moment I hear MRI, I think
MRI,
I'm worrying.
It's a setback, yeah, and a reason to worry.
It almost seems like you're trying to soft pedal something.
Yes, I agree. But it's raising alarm instead.
Right. I would not have sent out that tweet.
No, me either.
Yeah, I have to wonder what the status of that Dallas Cowboys social media person, like, yeah, to at least have a strong talking to after that. Right?
I would think so. Yeah, because it's not a set. All you had to do was say Dak Prescott planning to get another MRI.
Report the news. No reason to editorialize. That's the point.
Exactly. All right, what do you got next?
All right, so Elon Musk has taken pot shots at Amazon's founder, Jeff Bezos, and his space company, Blue Origin. Musk said on Twitter that Bezos would have been on Pluto by now if lobbying and lawyers were able to influence space missions.
Mm.
The longstanding feud between Musk and Bezos, especially as it relates to their competing rocket companies, is very well known. Both the billionaires are in a race to make space travel more affordable. So Elon Musk, I think we could all consider him a very public-facing guy, active on social media, and you hear from him quite a bit. And you don't hear much from Jeff Bezos. Like, I can't even tell you what that guy sounds like when he talks. I don't think I've ever seen a tweet from him. But do you find that Elon Musk's public visibility makes him more or less likable?
Oh, that's a good question.
His public visibility, because he's
I actually
he
think
does
it makes him
stuff.
More likable. I think it makes him more relatable. Like, Jeff Bezos is basically looked at as Darth Vader, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk is a little quirky, a little weird. But,
a lot quirky and a lot weird.
But he's great.
He's quirky and he's
Correct. Our weird, and we know what he's up to, and everybody loves his cars.
And his ideas and his vision and all that stuff.
Yeah, like Jeff Bezos, I think could benefit from a different public profile.
I completely agree. He could do with a different public makeover. So could Mark Zuckerberg.
And what's funny is that out of the two, I think Jeff Bezos is probably more of a regular guy, I would say, than Elon Musk, as far as like his upbringing and how he ended up in coming into all these millions or billions of dollars. Isn't that kind of, you know, I haven't seen any documentaries about Jeff Bezos. I know that he started Amazon as a bookstore and his garage or whatever. So he was a somewhat, you know, regular guy.
He was a guy with a big idea. Elon Musk is just, there's a creative genius, almost a madness about Elon Musk that I find fascinating. I love the fact that he's out there and that he's talking and that he's trying stuff and that he did the Rogan podcast and got stoned and all that stuff. I thought it was totally fascinating. So, yeah, I like Elon Musk being out there. And partly it's just, I mean, his vision, he thinks really big, and I think maybe inspires other people to think really big and outside the box.
Yeah, he's a great follow on Twitter, too.
Yes.
All right, next one here. Patrick Mahomes misses Whataburger so much that he's bringing it to his adopted state. Now, before I go on, have you guys had Whataburger?
Yes. I have. Yes.
Okay, I love it. I think it's great. They have them in Ohio.
Spicy ketchup.
They have them in L.A., right?
No, they don't.
They have them in Texas, where Mahomes is from. That's where
we don't have Whataburger in L.A.
Well, they should. But anyway, the Texas native is part of a franchise group that will bring 30 Whataburger restaurants to Missouri and Kansas over the course of the next 7 years, with a concentration of those franchises set for the Kansas City area. Quote, "I love Kansas City, and I love Whataburger," the Chiefs quarterback said in a statement. "I'm excited to bring a gift from my first home to my second home." So, wanted to ask you guys, is there a fast food chain that you'd want to take with you if you moved, or something even from growing up that you wish were closer to you now?
Well, yeah, In-N-Out. I mean, I've lived in Louisiana, Texas, and California. Those are the three states I've lived in.
Yep.
When I was in Louisiana and Texas, no In-N-Out. And it's brutal. Yeah, I mean, if I had Mahomes' money, I would start In-N-Out in one of those towns.
So In-N-Out is one that, yeah, it's not back east anywhere. It's not in Ohio, at least that I remember, Linz. It's not in Ohio now, is it?
No, I think the furthest east it goes might be like middle of the country. Maybe I remember stopping there one in like Kansas or something like that.
I think you could really make some money by importing In-N-Out to the East Coast. You know, the trick with it is there are no franchisees with In-N-Out. They are all company-owned stores. That's one of the reasons why the food is so consistent and so spectacular and nobody messes with it, is because they're all owned by the company. There are no franchisees. The other one that I would bring up back east is they don't have Jack in the Box back east.
What?
Yeah, there's no Jack in the Box back east. Linz, there's no Jack in the Box in Ohio, is there?
That is an outrage.
I feel like there is, but it's like in Cincinnati maybe.
Yeah, Jack in the Box would score everywhere.
Yeah, I feel like there is one that might be maybe even Michigan, but I don't. There's definitely not one in like Northeast Ohio. But there's a place out here that I would bring with me back to California. It's
what
called
is it?
Swenson's.
No, we had them.
Swenson's.
We had Swenson's in Corona del Mar when I grew up. I don't know if they're still in California, but Swenson's, they had a bunch of great. Swenson's is an ice cream store.
No, it must be different because the Swenson's out here, it's a regional chain and there's only three of them. And they're like a burger, hot dog, kind of.
Oh,
like,
okay, yeah, and then it's probably a different spot. Swenson's was an ice cream store when I grew up.
Yeah, it's like an old school burger type place that they come out to your car. Like it's a drive-in, like they don't have a drive-thru. They come out to your car and they run or they wear roller skates.
Oh, like Sonic.
But they don't have the drive-thru and they have the best milkshakes. And then they also have these really good like sodas, like flavored sodas. You can make like a million different flavors, and they put ice cream in them. And they have really good burgers and grilled cheese.
Nice.
Did you guys have Farrells growing up?
Yeah,
I
had Farrells when I was growing up. We had the big birthday parties at Farrells where they put the little plastic horses and stuff in the ice cream.
Right, and you could order the earthquake, which was
They put plastic horses in ice cream?
It was sort of like Cracker Jacks, you know, where you find something at the bottom of the box. You would find
like
little figurine soldiers and stuff in the ice cream, this big bowl of ice cream they would bring out.
They also had a thing called an earthquake, which was eight different scoops of ice cream. You could tell them which eight you wanted. And if you finished the whole thing before you left the restaurant, you got a ribbon that said, "I made a pig of myself at Farrell's." And they would run around with sirens on their helmets and carrying a ladder, like there was a fire, if you finished the earthquake.
Wow.
How many times did you finish it?
Once, ever. And my brother helped me. So that was very hard to do.
Do we have Dairy Queen in California? I've never
sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, there is.
There's select stores. There's a select few.
Oh, just a select
few.
Yeah,
there's only a certain areas that have it. Not
because, you
know,
my dad used to get Dairy Queen all the time. He would get Dilly Bars. You know what Dilly Bars are?
Yeah.
And my dad would get a box. My mom would, like, buy five boxes of Dilly Bars, and they'd be gone in like 5 days, eight in a box. My dad was just, he would kill the Dilly Bars. But I miss Dilly Bars. I got to find me a Dairy Queen near me because I do love a good Dilly Bar.
Have you guys heard of Charlie's?
No.
It's
no.
like a Philly cheesesteak place. It's so good. There's only a few of them around here too. Like, I don't know.
We do have them in California?
Yeah. Yeah, there's only a few of them, but they're kind of hard to find. Charlie's.
All right,
Philly
Charlie's.
Yeah.
Linz, is that the last one or you have one more?
That is it for Radio Tinder today.
Okay, Mace, there are two pieces of breaking news.
Oh, okay.
All right, you want me to lay them on you or you want me to do them at the top?
Let's do them at the top.
Okay.
Two pieces of breaking news coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey,